Most of us do pretty well when children follow our directions and cooperate. It's when they get whiny, mouthy, defiant, or throw a tantrum that we lose it. Our use of empathy helps children take ownership of their upset. It integrates the brain so that they can take personal responsibility for their behavior. In this session, we will learn how to use the skill of empathy to help children move from acting out their emotions from the lower centers of the brain to harnessing all that emotional upset to solve their problems constructively. Welcome to session 8, The Skill of Empathy. Remember, power, skill, structure. The power from which we can draw out our best authentic empathy is the power of acceptance, which says the moment is as it is. Now, all conflict starts with upset. Whether you're upset with your significant other, the child's upset with you, you're upset with a child, you're both upset with each other, it starts with upset. Now, what we've typically tried to do is resolve the conflict without managing the upset. We can just set a timer and you can share, and they knock the timer down. And or they go, we can just set a timer so that you could take turns. Well, I had it first, she had it first, I didn't do this, and I was, blah, blah, blah. So we go straight to conflict resolution, and this is interesting because we have been asked as teachers, we've also asked of ourselves as parents to work on our conflict resolution skills, teach conflict resolution skills when over 50% of our marriages end in divorce. So we're asked to do things that we don't know exactly how to do. We don't have any models of how that happened, really, how it happened well. You might have seen the conflicts between your parents that were a little disturbing. You might not even seen a conflict. They just kind of don't speak to each other for 3 days. Or they go off into the room and come back better, and you don't know, what are you doing in that room that y'all come back so magically better? Okay. So until we manage our emotional upsets, we will never truly be able to solve conflicts. Now, that's a powerful statement because if you look at the situation in the world, until we learn to manage emotional upset, we will never be able to truly resolve a conflict. Now, here's how we're going to start this session. We're going to start it with a song called Bye Bye Crankies. Now, one of the things about that is the song is designed to help us change states, and it's designed to work with children so they know how to change states. So it's going to go, I got the crankies, and so we're going to get in kind of a cranky position. Body's tense, arms crossed, faces. I've got the crankies, they won't go away. I need some help so to lighten my day. And you'll go, I got the crankies in my hand, we're going to make them tight, and then we make them loose. Crankies in my arm, tight, loose. That notion of feeling the tension in your body and letting it go is a skill. We are so used to walking around in a stressful situation, we don't know we're tense. And so we don't want to pass that on to the next generation where they learn that this state of stress is so normal. We want them to know the difference. Oh, that's stressed. This is relaxed. All right. With that, everybody up, up.
Let's get them out of our hands.
My hands were cranky, now they're not. My hands were cranky, now they're not. I just shook them around a lot. My hands were cranky, now they're not.
Let's all work those arms.
My arms were cranky, now they're not. My arms were cranky, now they're not. I just swayed them around a lot. My arms were cranky, but now they're not.
All right, the face. Let me see your best
now
angry
our face.
Here we go.
My
face was cranky, now it's not. My face was cranky, now it's not. I just smiled a lot. My face was cranky, but now it's not. Let's say goodbye to those crankies.
All right, let's wave them out.
Baba crankies, baba crankies in the hand. Baba crankies, baba crankies in the yard. Baba crankies, baba crankies in the face. Baba crankies, baba crankies, baba. Baba crankies, baba crankies, baba.
All right, and so long, crankies. So long. And it's amazing with some simple things that we can do. Not that we want to get rid of our feelings, but some simple things we can do. A simple thing called cranky cream, which is basically lotion. And you put a little lotion on a child's hand, and we can take a version of that song and we go, bye-bye crankies, bye-bye crankies, bye-bye crankies. Bye-bye crankies. Basically, what you're doing is using the power of touch and a nice deep hand massage. It was interesting that one of a teacher that I know had this child who was so out of control and so sad. I mean, she thought he was clinically depressed. He was either out of control or just deeply, deeply, deeply withdrawn. And she got so frustrated because she kept trying to reach him. And she knew conscious to him, and she kept trying and trying and trying. And she couldn't quite reach him. So one day she just sent him down to the in-school suspension room, and she just put on a note, do something, he's clinically depressed, I give up. And so, and then after, of course, she sent him down, you know, she felt like, and then she took a couple breaths. She was just frustrated. She took a couple breaths. She got up to the higher centers of the brain. And she walked down to the in-school suspension room. She sat down next to him, just put an arm around him and said, what can I do to help? And he goes, I like the creams. And she says, well, come with me. So she goes down there and he gets some cranky cream. She goes to every one of his teachers. He likes the creams. He likes the creams. And so they started, everyone started helping him, doing the bye-bye and giving him a nice hand massage and the bye-bye cranky song in his hand. And then he started coming in every school and he would do it to himself. Now he had a whole entourage of here of different lotions to do bye-bye crankies with. And interesting enough, he's now an all-star football player, an all-star basketball. I mean, he's just won all kinds of awards and he was in an award ceremony. He's now in middle school, high school. He's older now. And she was the teacher when he was in fourth grade. And he got up in front of everyone at this assembly where he won this award and called up this teacher and said, it was you and the cranky cream that got me here. And I want to thank you publicly for doing that. So it's amazing what we can do with some little teeny things. All right. So now let's take a deep breath. Exhale slowly. This time we're going to inhale saying the word acceptance. We're going to exhale saying the moment is as it is. You ready? I'll say the words for you. You're going to inhale. Inhale all the acceptance of what is. Exhale. The moment is as it is. Give yourself permission once again to be here now. Let all that you should be doing go. Let all that you need to be doing go. All that you think should be happening now, let it all go and give yourself permission to be here now. And now take a moment and reflect on how often you skirt around this moment. Now, I want everyone to look at the bag. Does everybody see the bag? Okay, everybody sees the bag. All right, now I'm gonna drop it. I'll get over here so y'all can see really well. I'm going to drop it on the floor. Okay, now where's the bag? Matt, it's right there because I dropped it. Now here's the question. Where should the bag be? In my hand, on the floor, wherever I want it, over on the prop, over here on this little table. We have grown up with this notion that if we deny something, it'll change. Like the bag is on the floor because that's the only place it can be. But we go, where should it be? Oh, it should be in your hand. It should be on the hook. It should be over there. And so we've learned that if we deny it, we could actually make it better. Now, but what happens when we deny something? We negate ourselves and everyone in the moment. We're saying, this moment that just happened, this thing that I'm feeling inside me, this thought that I just had, that's not good enough. It should have been another way. There shouldn't be traffic out there. We shouldn't have hungry kids in America, right? I mean, how often do you hear this? It shouldn't be like it is. And what we're saying is, what's happening? What is? I shouldn't feel like this. The feeling that I'm having right now is not the one that's supposed to be there. So we're negating. Denial is a form of negating. So we're negating the moment and saying, this bag shouldn't be there. Now, when we negate the moment, we negate ourselves and everyone in it, because what we offer to others, we strengthen in ourselves. So we're going to get rid of this negation that I shouldn't be feeling what I'm feeling. This child shouldn't be angry now. We shouldn't be thinking that. World, you know, we do have hunger in the United States. The only way to move forward is to move from acceptance. And I think of it like a manual car. You know, so when you want to change gears, you know, you want to do something different, you have to go through neutral. And neutral is that moment where the moment is as it is. I'm feeling what I'm feeling. I'm thinking what I'm feeling. Yes, there's hunger in the United States. Yes, there's rape. Yes, there's crime. It is what it is. And then I can say, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to choose to do? And then we can put it in another gear. Now, I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of my life grinding gears, trying to go from first to second without going, well, it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like this. Here's what they should be doing. Everybody should be doing this. And again, it throws it all out there as opposed to bring it home so I can make a choice to do something I believe is important to do. All right. So we're going to get rid of this once and for all right? We're going to get rid of this skill because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold my hand because if this denial and negating works, we should see this happen. So I'm going to hold my hand right here, and you guys are going to go, you should be in Becky's hand. And I'll be prepared to catch it in case this is a powerful skill. All right, ready? On three. One, two, three.
You should be in Becky's hands.
Now, you know, the only reason that didn't work is because that's not how we really say it. I mean, we have to get into it to be, you know, we know, we don't go, you should be in Becky, we go, you should be in Becky's hands. That's how we get into it, you know? You should know what to do by now. I mean, you have to really get the grit and the teeth and the finger wagging. All right, here we go. Grit, teeth, finger wagging. But let me just get really prepared. Okay, I'm braced. Ready, go.
You should be in Becky's hands.
Okay, now, as you can see, that's not effective. And if you want this bag back over there, we would say, Becky, pick up the bag and put it over here with the other items and give assertive command. So when we negate, again, we negate ourselves and everyone in it. Listen to what we're saying. Listen to what we're saying. What should you be doing? I.e., you stupid child. Where should you be? I.e., your stupid child. You should know better by now. You completely stupid child. So when we negate, we're in essence calling everyone a name. We're calling them stupid. And I don't know about you, but I still have that kind of notion that, you know, if you really got to know me, you'd see how stupid I am. Does anybody have that with me? And it's like, you know, and I've got, well, I got a couple degrees at the same time. So I've got I've got 5 degrees. And I still carry it around. So acquiring knowledge doesn't make it go away. It's this notion that we are in charge of the world and that we can negate certain moments. But most importantly, we negate our feelings. So what is acceptance? Acceptance is this non-judgmental awareness of simply what is. It's actually mindfulness in action. But again, I want you to relate this to not just the bag or the traffic or the hunger in the world. I want you to relate it internally to your self-regulation process. How do you learn if you negate what you're feeling? You can't. You're just calling yourself stupid. How do you learn if you negate what you're thinking? I shouldn't think like that. You're just calling yourself stupid. The more you call yourself a name, the more you throw yourself into the lower centers of the brain, the more you disconnect your own brain so that your knowing and doing goes further apart and your life doesn't work. Okay, so most of us grew up believing that these emotions were bad guys, right? Your feelings are bad guys. And so that's historically true, you know, because feelings were known to be with women, and if you thought like a woman, you'd be so irrational and crazy that, you know, the world would come to an end. But now we know that without understanding, integrating, and knowing our feelings, we can't make wise decisions. They're actually our inner compass. They're our inner guidance system, and we need them alive and well, and we need to own them, and we need to feel them. So here's the deal. You can't regulate that which you don't know you're having. Can you? Right. And you ask most people, how are you feeling? And they go, like a cigarette? I mean, that's a thought. Okay. How are you feeling? They'll go, okay, upset. That's your two states, right? How are you feeling? Oh, I'm okay. How are you? A little upset. That's all we got. Now, if you go back and you look at little babies, so we say we're aware of two states within us, pleasant and unpleasant. A 12-month-old is aware of pleasant and unpleasant. Somehow or another, our emotional development stopped around 2 years of age, and we all got stymied and okay and upset. And generally, we don't even mean it. How are you feeling? Okay. You know, the dog died, and you know, the house got repossessed. I'm in the middle of a divorce, but you know, I'm okay. Oh, yeah, good for you. All right. So how does it come that we don't know what we're feeling? How does that ever happen to us, that we're so removed from our own feeling system? Part of it comes from how our feelings were responded to by very well-meaning adults who didn't have access to theirs, who were raised by well-meaning adults who didn't have access to theirs. So we go back 10,000 years. So watch this short video, how of the four typical ways that we get responded to, whether our feeling has been ignored, where our feelings have been dismissed, our feelings have been punished. And sometimes we actually had our feelings that were actually acknowledged and coached. So watch this video and reflect on how, when I shared an emotional situation with my authority figures in my life, the ones who cared for me, how did they respond? Watch and see.
Mom.
Oh, hi.
Hi. The hamster died.
Yeah.
Charlie died.
We'll get another one. We'll get you another one. We'll get you another one. You know what? I know exactly who's got more, okay? We have to get another one. We have to do this. We have to get another one. I'm going to fix this for you. We'll get another one, okay?
It's a little bot.
Yeah, that's what they do, and they get stiff. Yeah, you probably noticed that. Yeah, we'll take care of it. I'll have your dad take care of it. I don't want to touch him. It's not a big deal, sweetheart. It's not a big deal. Hamsters, they come and go. They're like a dime a dozen.
Didn't we just talk about this? You take no responsibility for things. Look at this. Who puts your clothes away every day? You take no responsibility for anything. No wonder he died.
Rodent you have in your room.
No, Charlie. Yeah. He died.
Yeah. Oh.
I just found him. He's in the room. He's laying there. Sounds like he was
Okay. Can you take these back to your room when you go, and then you can take care of that? Just wrap them in. Here. Just wrap them in there. That would be great. Okay.
getting better. You gotta do something. Charlie's dead.
Yeah, Charlie's dead. And that's really hard. You love Charlie so much.
I love Charlie.
You were so good with Charlie, too.
He
you
would were. Go around his little thing.
You did. Yeah,
yeah. Man. I you would never do it again.
When you're ready, we'll decide what's best for parting with Charlie. And we're going to get through this together. We are. You're not alone. You're not alone.
You'll be there for me.
Yes. In fact, we're going to be there right now together. Let's go right now, and we'll take care of little Charlie.
Okay, Mom.
Let's go.
So here's how most of us deal with our emotions. And I call this the unconscious or the unregulated life. We blame others, like we've talked about in many of the sessions. We blame others. You made me feel this way, so we blame others. We demand they change, and we act that out in certain ways where I'm not speaking to you, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then we medicate the sensations because emotions are energy in motion that are moving through our body. So there are sensations. So we medicate those by shopping, eating, drinking, getting busy, just distracting ourselves. Then we bury that feeling or that emotion into our body, which then stays there stuck, communicating to our immune system all along that we're in a stressful state. But we, more importantly, we say stuck in a story, you know, that people are basically selfish and greedy. Cooperation is for suckers. Competition is the way. We gotta pull ourselves up from our bootstraps. I mean, so we get stuck in a story that maintains a certain belief set that's been gone unexamined. A belief that was created from a 4-year-old eyes, a 9-year-old eyes, a 12-year-old eyes. So what we want to do is we want to learn to move from that system to another system. And the way to do that is that we're going to move to the point where instead of blaming others, we're going to go, well, I got triggered. Boom. I got triggered. I am feeling very angry. Then I calm. I take a breath. Then I feel the sensations in my body. Then I choose another way to see it. And then I work with win-win solutions. Just like we learned a while back with the safe place. Those are the same steps I need to take. So once we shift from an unregulated life to a regulated life, of course, then we can teach children. We also know that feelings are hugely important because they are the bridge from a problem to the solution. So we got to get, here's the problem we're having. We're in a conflict. Bridge is our emotions. On the other side, solutions. Now, here's what women tend to do. We tend to get up on top of that bridge and invite our friends. Bring a picnic lunch, bottle of wine, and tell everybody the stories of how miserable it is. You wouldn't believe what she did last week. You wouldn't believe how she did this. And oh my gosh, don't you agree? This is just not the way. So we don't deal with the emotions at all. We get up there and talk about them. Make up stories, share our stories, convince ourselves these stories are true, and find people to agree with us. But we never get off on the other side, which actually solves the problem. Now, men, they do the same thing, but they do it differently. They don't even go over the bridge. They go under the bridge. So woman comes home and goes, oh my gosh, I had the hardest day. Guy goes, get a new job. If it's broken, we fix it. You know, so they don't even touch the bridge. I don't even see the bridge. Man, they go right under it. So we've got to go over this bridge. Problem, go over the bridge called emotions and feelings because that's our inner guidance system. That's our inner compass. It's been with us all our life. We just need to get in touch with it, listen to it, just like the 3-month-old baby, just like these babies I've shown you. It's there from the beginning. We've just overlaid it with stuff, unconscious programming that gets in our way. So how do we do this? We do this through what I call the DNA process. And this is the way we're going to offer empathy. And it's, I'm going to give you again kind of the words to go with it, but ultimately it comes from a compassionate heart. You have to open your heart and say, I understand how hard it is when you want this so bad and you're not going to get it. And it could be for them, they just want to go outside and play, and you say no. That's hard to handle. We want to teach children how to handle those emotions, not negate them, and move forward and be compliant. We want them wise people. Okay, so I'm going to show you this DNA process, so we're going to have my brain back up here. They're going to get in position, so by now we know the states. Okay, so we're going to start down here with getting them in touch. Remember, we can't regulate what we don't know we have. So we're going to start down here at the bottom. And so let's say a child is going, and is so angry and is throwing something like this. We start down here and we go, what we've already learned, remember? Your arms going like this, your feet are going like this, until they look up at us. Now, the reason we're going, your face is going like this, your arm is going like this, I'm showing you the signals. I'm getting you in touch with that right hemisphere and all those signals. So if I go, your arms are like this, your face is like this, what are all the other children learning? Oh goodness. That's what an angry face looks like. That's what a sad face looks like. That's what this looks like. So I'm going to go, okay, do this with me. Ready? So you're going to go your hands, your foot went like this, and as soon as I look up, that's where we put our paws in, and we're all going to take a deep breath and download me, so everyone breathe. Okay, now you're cutting my anger in half. We're slowing down this process because when we're in this state, there's a sense of urgency. There's a wolf after you. Right? Haven't you felt that? There's a wolf after you. So we tend to, the child's in urgency because they believe a wolf is after them. We're looking at it going, oh gosh, they downloaded me. Now I think there's a wolf after me. So we tend to go, ugh! We tend to get hyped up. Our clacker starts going with theirs. So we have to take a moment, slow this down. Then we're going to get up here and it's going to go, you seem angry. You wanted to go out and play. You wanted to go out and play. So I'm going to name the feeling. This signals are called this feeling. This feeling comes about because you wanted something you couldn't get. So I've taught you a huge, huge, huge lesson as opposed to, you know, hamsters are a dime a dozen. Or, yeah, honey, oh, poor thing. Yes, that's hard. Mommy's sad, too. And the point that's very important is that we describe the signals, we saw the pause button, and we breathe. But these happen pretty quick. Watch this. It's going to go, hold it down. It's going to go, boom, boom. You seem sad. You were hoping your friend would live next door forever. And then we can add anything we want on top of that because this actually organizes the brain behind it. Once we get this all organized, then we can, they're in this state and we can go, that is so hard. And then we can move to a win-win. Maybe we could get the email address or maybe we could text if there's going to be something we can solve. Sometimes you can't solve anything because the dog just died and we're just going to be with it. But we've got to get over the bridge first before we start addressing the problem. And we're trying to address the problem and forget the bridge. Forget the bridge at all. All right, so let's do this one. The room is filled with noise and a little child's going like, puts their hands up on their ears. Okay? So we're going to go, and let's say I'm doing this.
Your feet are going like this.
And I look up and you're going to slow it all down. Slow, you're safe, baby. Let's slow this down. Then
you sing around. You wanted it to be somewhere. Oh, oops, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now again, it's very important that we go boom, boom, so we can't stop. If you stop here, and this is where we tend to stop, if we're going to stop, oh, you see, or we just don't even say anything else, we just go, you seem angry, which leaves them in this emotional state. So you seem angry. Yes, I'm angry. She took it and I had it and I brought it from home and my mom gave this to me, and yes, I'm angry. You never let me do anything. I didn't, you know, I did not wreck that car. It was not my fault the last time. So if you leave them in this state, you're asking for the mouth. This is not how you teach emotions to go into that story. I want you to stay. I want you to pull the sensation. I want you to pull the emotion, the feeling, which is your compass, out of the story. The story's not real anyway. It's the feeling that's real. Because whatever story you made up is only your half of that story. There's another perspective to it. There's 1,000 perspectives to it. So the story's not real. The stories you're telling yourself about the world, the stories you're telling yourself about yourself, they're not necessarily real, but I'll tell you what is real, the feeling you had in that situation. So if you go to the story, you bury the feeling. Let's pull the feeling out, let go of the story, manage the feeling, get across the bridge, and solve the problem instead of carrying around an old story that we call baggage. Let me show you another one, and I'll do this one for you. So we have a young boy, and he's laying like this. His head's down. He's on top of his books. He's not engaged. He's not doing his work. And so we watch those nonverbal signals, and we notice them. So we'll go, your arms are like this. Your head is down like this. And as soon as he looks up at me or looks up at you, we're going to breathe. Basically saying, you're safe. I'm on your team. Then we're going to go, you seem sad. You wanted some help. You wanted some help. And then we can go to the problem solve. When you want help, just raise your hand. I'm here to help you be successful. I'll be right here. So we get across that bridge, across that bridge. And here's the last one. And I'll do this one too. So we've got a boy and he's pushing someone out like, get away from me. Making kind of a face like that, pushing. So I start here and go, your arm is going like this, your foot's going like this, and as soon as he looks up at me, I'm gonna belly breath, slow it down, it's not that urgent. Then I'm gonna go, you seem angry. You wanted the other person to move back. You want them to move back. And then I can, over across that bridge, I can say, when you want them to move back, say, move back, please. But we've got to get over the bridge. Okay, thank you, guys. What the DNA process does, and the reason it's called DNA is D, we're going to describe what the body is in the signals. We're going to N, name the feeling. And A, acknowledge the deepest desire that they wanted. And again, that comes from seeing the best. You don't go, well, you wanted to be an idiot and push them. You know, so you're going to go with, you just wanted them to move. So once we use the DNA process, we are teaching children to pay attention to facial cues over here. We're naming that emotion for everybody who's watching, and we're showing what the ultimate goal was so that we can solve a problem. So it's a very powerful process. Remember, it takes two to self-regulate. We learned that several sessions ago. It takes two. Now again, if young children don't have mature inner voice, there's only one of them. So we're constantly saying this to children. Oh, you seem angry. You wanted her to move. You seem sad. You were hoping to be able to play longer in this area. You were hoping to be able to keep the car out, even though you'd brought it home without gas for the next weekend. Sometimes we start here and go up, and And sometimes we start there depending on the intensity of the emotion. If it's hugely intense, we need to start here so we can cut it in half and move up the train. Sometimes we can just start here. Sometimes we can just start here, depending on what state the child is in. And that's why understanding these states is so important. But let's say we've got a young child, and I've got a classroom, and I got 25 of these. You know, and I'm like, you're all over the place. We need to make a situation where the children have something to work with. And that's the beauty of the feeling buddies. And one of the things, the children then can work with the buddy. And as they work with the buddy, they get to practice the skill more and more. So they can look at the buddy and they can go, your face is going like this. Your eyes are going like this. Your eyebrows going like this. You seem angry. You seem angry. You wanted to play longer. And then they can put it on their chest and go, you're safe. Breathe with me. Breathe with me. So by having something for them to practice regulating, they get to practice the skill. And as they practice the skill, when their inner speech comes online, guess what they're saying to themselves? First of all, we're coaching it. They're practicing it. And we're instilling a self-regulatory inner speech that will carry them the rest of their life. Watch this little girl and how she works with her feeling buddy.
You use the feeling buddies, Aaliyah?
Yes.
Can you tell me about a time you used them?
One this morning, I was scared. I mean, I was sad because mommy get off at 11 or 10 o'clock. But that's past my bedtime. But when I wake up, she'll be right there. But I want to see her at nighttime. I got this sad and safe place. Hi, hello, sad. Your eyebrows look like this. Your eyes look like this. Your mouth looks like this. You seem sad. Free from me. You're safe.
And how is that helpful?
Because you are breathing.
Okay, and what does the breathing do?
The breathing gets you calm. And then you get back in us. And then you go learn.
Oh, and then you go learn? So it helps you learn when you get calm? Do you ever choose any of the things from the pictures? Which ones do you choose?
I choose coloring about it so I can tell mommy.
Oh, do you? And does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever chosen anything else in there?
I choose the heart pillow.
Oh, you like the heart pillow too? And why do you like the heart pillow?
Because when I hug you, it brings sad out of my heart.
Does it? Is that after you do the breathing with sad? I mean, with the buddy sad?
Mm-hmm.
She demonstrates what you offer to others, you strengthen yourself. So as she, it's a heart-shaped pillow, and as she squeezed the heart, I love that. It brings the sad out of my heart. That's a 5-year-old girl. She's 5. The wisdom in that 5-year-old girl is greater than I have at this point. Again, it's my second language. This will be her first language. This will be her first skill. She'll know how to regulate for the rest of her life. Even if she doesn't run into another conscious discipline teacher, even if her parents don't do it at home, this is still in her inner speech, in her head. So a lot of people say this to me, you know, I tried empathy and it didn't work. You know, and I'm like, what on earth do you think it's supposed to do? You know, it's like, and then you uncover all these crazy beliefs we have. First of all, we believe we offer empathy, it's supposed to happy them up, right? If I say, oh, you seem sad, they're supposed to go, oh, thank you, that's good, now I'm good. They also think that if you offer empathy, that's supposed to make you instantly compliant. And I'm like, where are we getting all this stuff? We also use it then as a strategy, as opposed to a heartfelt, compassionate presence. Also, some people think, well, I'm not offering empathy. If I have to offer you empathy, you're weak. You need to, you know, you had to have the right stuff. You don't have the right stuff, so I'm not going to help you. Also, some people believe that empathy must be earned. If you're good and you're a pleasant and you're a nice person, then certainly I will. But now if you're going to be a jerk, hey, you lost it. You lost your opportunity to have empathy. So we're saying bad behavior doesn't deserve empathy, and I'm telling you bad behavior requires empathy. So we have to kind of, again, always look back and see if we're carrying a bunch of leeches around that we don't really need anymore. So what does empathy do? Empathy integrates the brain so you can take personal responsibility for your actions. I'm going to say that again. Empathy integrates your brain so you can take personal responsibility. And I know everybody wants children to take responsibility because we're going, who's responsible? You need to be honest with me. If you'll be honest with me, I'll be lenient. We're doing all kinds of crazy things to make them responsible, except integrating so they can be responsible. So I'm going to show you this with this beach ball. Now, if you look at this beach ball, it has three words on: feelings, power, and responsibility. So now whoever you believe to be in charge of your feelings, you've placed in charge of you. And what that means is whoever you believe is in charge of your feelings is really holding the beach ball, right? So whoever's holding the beach ball is in charge of your feelings. They made you angry, but they also have the power and the responsibility to change and make you feel better. So what we want children to do is metaphorically hold their own beach ball, right? You don't want to walk around with someone else holding your beach ball, because then you have to control them to get yourself to change states. This little boy went to see the Disney show Inside Out. So I'm talking to him. He's about six. He knows nothing really about consciousness, but he's 6 years old. And his mom was talking to him about, who's driving your brain now? And he was going, angry's driving my brain. And so I was at the pool and I thought, I just asked him a couple questions. I says, okay, if angry's driving your brain now, do you know how to change it from angry so that calm's driving your brain or happy's driving your brain? He says, yes. I said, how does that happen? Well, my mom says I can go in the pool. See, so my mom says I can go in the pool. It's a quick change. But again, he's six. He's already got the system down. All you got to do is change your mind. I change my state. It's the same thing that my mom did. Becky, you've worked yourself into a state. And I'm like, oh, no, I have not. You worked me into a state. So at some point, we got to teach children that you want to hold your own beach ball. So I'm going to give you some examples of this and what this looks like. So, Mindy, if you'd come up. And we'll give you an example. So, and this is a hard shift. So let me show you why children would constantly throw you your beach ball. When they're a baby, it is your job to feed them. You change their diaper. You make them feel more pleasant. You cuddle them. You make them feel more pleasant. So as they grow from a baby to a toddler, it's like our job changes, right? And it's like all these years, all I have to do is go, whack, and here comes a bottle, a boob, or something, right? And now all I do is want to, you know, eat the tack on the floor, and you're saying no. For so long, you made everything right, and now you're the aggravation of my life. So there's a transition we have to do because they naturally will throw us their ball. But it's our job to hand it back. So we're going to have, Mindy's going to be a four-year-old. And what's the situation?
I want to go outside and play.
She wants to go outside and play, and it's raining, and so I say no. And here's what she does.
I want to go out. You never let me.
So she throws me. It's like, you never let me. All right, now watch what I do. So your arms are going like this. Your hands going like that. You seem angry. You were hoping you could go outside and play. It's so hard. It's so hard.
Yes, I want to go today. Why can't I go now?
You want to go right now, and you think it would feel so much better if you could get outside? We need to find something in the house so you can run and run and run and jump.
OK.
Okay.
No, but see what I did?
What are my choices?
I kept, right. You know, and I would finish with, you have a choice, you can do this or this. But do you see how I'm constantly giving her ball back? Even if she said, shut up, stupid, I would give it back to her. So let's do a 9-year-old, something bigger. A 9-year-old.
I don't want to do my homework.
Okay, so a 9-year-old who doesn't want to do their homework. Okay, go.
I'm not doing this stupid homework. I can't do it anyways. I hate it.
You seem frustrated. You were hoping you could get some help with this work. It's so much.
Yes,
so
and you never help me. I hate it.
So you want some help from me, and it seems like I was too busy for you.
Yes, why don't you help me?
Here I am, baby.
Really hard.
Come to mama. Come to mama. Who's the mama? But do you see, she kind of ran out of steam, right? But did you see what I was doing? I kept bringing it and giving it back to her. Now, here's what we typically do.
Shut up, stupid.
Don't you ever talk to me like that again. So we take her feelings and beat her up with them. So now, 20 years later, it's like, what are you feeling? Hey, I ain't touching that ball, man.
No, thank you.
I don't mess with that. Or, let's say you got homework due tomorrow and you waited too late and now your life is destroyed and it's late.
I'm not going to have any time to do it and it's your fault and I have no time and now I'm going to get in trouble.
Honey, I can help you with that. We'll just divvy it up. You got to type it? I can put it on my computer.
Okay. That works.
But look who's got her ball.
Thanks for saving me.
I've got her guidance system in my hand and she's going to go out and run the streets with a bunch of kids. And I want her to make a wise decision. And that wise decision comes from this ball. If it doesn't feel right, get back on the path. Do y'all get that? Haven't you known something? Haven't you had this kind of wise voice that says, oh, don't go, don't do that, or don't do that? Have you had that? And not listened? It's not ever worked out, has it? You could have had that little quiet voice, don't marry him. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we start giving this back. Now, does this mean children aren't going to throw it at us? No. Next day, oh, here you go. Life goes on. Next day, oh, here you go. Next day, they're teenagers. Now, you might not be able to hand it to them, but just kind of lay it at the room. And certainly they probably will kick it away with their feet. But again, once they get through that, and that prefrontal lobe hits 24, you've got a responsible citizen. You've got another parent that can do a brilliant job. You've got a teacher that can come with work with everyone's children. I mean, we've made a difference. Even if we just do it one time in 3 years, we've made a difference. All right. Take your ball and go sit down. There you go. All righty. So what does empathy do? Empathy integrates the brain for personal responsibility. So if you want children to take personal responsibility, that's what you need to do. And now, why is it so important that we upgrade our skills? Why upgrade our skills? And why do I think this is probably the most essential skill between composure, assertiveness, and empathy? These are the biggest skills we need to really upgrade. So if you look at the picture on the screen, you will see that how do we develop emotional regulation? It comes from our attachment and starts very early in life, from how we attach to children and that bond we make with our own baby. Now that bond comes from someone relieving our distress. So look at this. So I experience a distress. It turns on my attachment system, which says, find your person, find your person, find your person. Imagine little lions out on the Serengeti. And the little cubs walk away from mom, and then they hear this little, and what do? Run back to mom. So we are genetically wired to do that. So, and then when we come back to mom, the system's on, which says, find your person. You get to your person, and if that person relieves your stress, then the system turns off, little switch, attachment system off, and then you go, let me go out and explore the world and learn something. Now, you know this about your own life, so let's put it in our terms so you can understand. Right now, I'm going to ask you, who's your person? If you got a call right now on the phone and it was something very distressing, who is your person? Now, hopefully you have someone. The people who don't have anyone, those are the ones who are dangerous. Discouraged children are disruptive. Disconnected children are dangerous. All right. So, and you think about this in your own life, and you really want to get hold of this person, but you can't get hold of them, but your attachment system's on. Call this person. I need to talk to this person. I've got to talk to this person. How well do you work at the office? You don't work so well. How well do you work if you're a teacher? You're not working so well. You're like, I got to find my person. I got to get hold of my person. And you will keep searching and searching until you actually get your person. And if your person responds in a helpful way, which you do because that's why you're your person, then it turns off that attachment system. And then you can go back and at least make it through the day till you see him or her at the afternoon. Does that make sense? So a lot of kids are going to school with their attachment system on because that stress was never released at home. So when that attachment system stays on all day, you're seeking connection. You're seeking, and if you can't get connection, you'll take attention. But you're seeking connection all day. You're just going around. You don't care about the science lesson. You don't care about reading. You're just looking for somebody turn this system off. And it's genetically wired to do this. Watch this video of these elephants. They've got this down pat, and so do all the other animals. Pretty cool. It's genetically in them, it's genetically in us, all mammals. So, you know, the interesting thing about those elephants, do you see what they did? Attachment system turned on. Here they come. And then, what did they do? That was a big cliff there. They showed the little elephant what to do. Go down where it's only this tall. Go up like this. Not one of those elephants that I believe went, what the hell are you doing? I told you. How many times do I have to tell you they're the low sides over here? No. Right there. So when the attachment system's on, the learning, the exploration is off. And we have a lot of kids coming from trauma, high stress homes, and that attachment system is on all day. They don't care what you're teaching. You could have the best curriculum in the world, but that attachment system is like, where are you? Until we build the school family and do all that we're talking about today, then that system can turn off and then they can go, oh, now I can read. Thank you. Now I can read. So here's a story. I'm down in Miami at a child care center. And I want to show you why it's important we upgrade our skill. So I'm in a child care center. I'm doing a presentation about 6 o'clock at night, and I'm walking through. Now there's one child left in the building, you know, the one that's at the end of the day. She's about 2 years old. She's exhausted, her teacher's exhausted, and I'm walking down there with the director of the school, okay? So as we're walking down the hall, the little two-year-old hears feet coming. So they have a little gate there, a little baby gate. So as the feet are coming, here comes this little two-year-old, like, thinking, that's my mommy. Coming just like you can just see, it's like, that's my mommy. As we arrive at that gate, the director goes, here's the little girl like this. She sees me, and of course her body goes. And you can see the well of tears in her eye. The director says, "That's Emily. She loves coming to school with us." The teacher says, "Here, let's get a book so you can stay busy." And I say, "Your body went like this." She looked up at me. She's only this big. "You seem so, so sad. You were hoping it was mommy. You wanted it to be mommy. You've been here so long today. You just couldn't wait one more second to see your mommy. It's so hard. You can handle it. Let's breathe." Now, no one's taught her to breathe or anything. I'm just... Do you know what she did? "No problem. I'll go home with you." Now, that's why we want to upgrade our skill set so that when your child is in distress, you can increase that attachment. You can make a healthy bond. When someone brings you their child to teach, to care for, you can make a bond in seconds. It didn't take me 2 years to bond with that child. It took me a moment to be there with my heart open, my soul open, and a skill set to match. And she was like, "Good enough. Good enough." So that's what we need to do, in my mind. Okay. So what are the structures for empathy? Well, we have a We Care Center. So a We Care Center is just a place where you can write someone, you see them in distress, you can write them a note. You can write them a card if you're old enough to write. You can just say, "You know, we missed you at school. We wish you well. I understand your grandmother's having surgery. Our thoughts are with you." Just like we do in a healthy home. But for little teeny guys, they can't write, they can't read, so they have a little We Care bag, and they carry it around and go, "Well, would any of this help?" And sometimes they just pick out a little bunny, and they kind of hug the bunny, but it's an opportunity for a little three-year-old to show, "Well, would any of this help?" And that's their job, to be the We Care person, to look and see where distress is in the room and help others who feel distressed. So those are our structures. And again, there's a Schubert book. A Schubert book says Schubert's New Friend. How do we offer empathy and compassion and acceptance of a new child who comes in the classroom, because coming in new is a tough thing. All right. So children's upset gives us the opportunity to help them become conscious of their emotions so they know what they feel, when they feel it, so we can help regulate it. It stimulates the prefrontal lobe, integrates the brain, and develops impulse control. So children who need this most will be upset the most. Y'all hear that? Children who need this the most will be upset the most. So it's not like, "Okay, I gave it a shot for 2 weeks, now shut up." No, kids who need it the most will be upset the most. But if we're there for them, we're going to wire that brain, and it's all going to change the life course of some child. All right, so we have done the skills that have to do with connection, which are encouragement, choices, and empathy. And combining those, all the things we've learned. So if a child is spending a lot of time in their emotional state, a lot of time either clinging on you or name calling or excluding themselves or excluding others, we use these combined skills called reject. The first R is for rituals. All those beautiful rituals, the I love you rituals, the ritual, the wish well ritual. We use the first E, which is encouragement. The J is for jobs. The second E is for empathy. The C is for choices. And the T is for the school family, which is the soil that grows healthy adults and children. So with this, think of an animal. Think of an animal that best represents you. Right now, hold it in your hand. Listen to this commitment. I am willing to feel my feelings instead of punish, dismiss, or distract from them. I will slow down. Name the feeling and breathe into it, saying, "You're safe. Keep breathing. You can handle this." If you're willing to do that, toss it. And I will catch it. I'm going to catch this one really big in my heart, because if you won't let yourself feel your feelings, you will never let children feel theirs. Put this in, and until next time, oh, how much I wish you well.